This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Arise, shine, your light has come, the Lord's glory has shone upon you. Welcome to worship this morning here at First Presbyterian Church. Today, as we gather, we're going to be hearing the account of the Magi. This is Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Last Sunday technically was Epiphany, but we're going to be hearing about the Magi following a star to find the child. Child that was to become the king of the Jews. And we're going to hear this story, but hearing the story, it's not enough. What makes a difference in our life, just from hearing a story and going, oh, that was nice. In my words, where does the rubber meet the road? Where does it get traction in our life? Where does it change us? Where does it move us into a new place in life? How might this divine encounter from so long ago have any relevance, any impact in our world today? Well, the Magi were seeking a child, and they found him. It was Jesus. We're also, I hope, we're all seeking Jesus in our daily lives. Most everyone is seeking some sort of a divine encounter in daily life. I hear that more and more. That is more prevalent in research today. Most everyone is seeking some sort of divine encounter. God is present a lot more than what we even realize. We need to allow practices to inhabit our lives that we can become more and more aware of God's presence and to see, in addition to those areas that we are already aware of, how active God is in our life. It's the awareness that God had come to be with his people. That's what has the power to change our life. Today, as I mentioned, it's officially Baptism of the Lord Sunday, but we're going to be celebrating Epiphany, which technically happened on January 6th. These two feasts were, until recently, actually celebrated as one. Now, in our planning as part of your worship team, we decided for a variety of reasons to join these two together and to celebrate them together today. And we're implementing a new practice that kind of got a little bit of a foothold last year during fellowship time afterwards, star words. The word epiphany, it has to do with revealing or uncovering. It has to do with the word that means to show, to shine forth, to appear, to be made known. We are trusting that God can and does use many different signs to guide us closer to the divine presence. One of those practices is star words. I'm going to explain a little bit more about this later in the service, but I want us all to begin this worship service with this in mind so that we can be seeking to encounter the mystery of the triune God so that we might all be changed more and more into God's people, bearing witness in this place and time. So come, Holy Spirit. Let the light of Christ be our guide, illuminating our hearts, as we continue our journey together into this new year.
God of promise and light, open our eyes this morning that we may see your light in the darkness. Open our hearts that we may perceive your promises of justice and righteousness fulfilled in the babe of Bethlehem. May we, like the Magi, have a star to guide us on our journey and our quest to find the one who will truly set us free. May this time of worship bring us closer to you, that the good news of the birth of the light and love will transform our lives. Amen. Our first scripture reading today is taken from Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7, and then 10 to 14. Today's Psalm reading proclaims the prophetic work of liberation, justice, and care for the oppressed that Jesus took upon himself. Please let us read responsively. God, give your judgments to the king. Give your righteousness to the king's son. Let him judge your people with righteousness and your poor ones with justice. Let the mountains bring peace to the people. Let the hills bring righteousness. Let the king bring justice to people who are poor. Let him save the children of those who are needy, but let him crush oppressors. Let the king live as long as the sun, as long as the moon, generation to generation. Let him fall like rain upon fresh cut grass, like showers that water the earth. Let the righteous flourish throughout their lives, and let peace prosper until the moon is no more. Let the kings of Tarshish and the islands bring tribute. Let the kings of Sheba and Seba present gifts. Let all the kings bow down before him. Let all the nations serve him. Let it be so, because he delivers the needy who cry out, the poor and those who have no helper. He has compassion on the weak and the needy. He saves the lives who are in need. He redeems their lives from oppression and violence. Their life is precious in his eyes.
Today's scripture presented to us by the Revised Common Lectionary for the Baptism of the Lord Sunday is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Listen for the word of the Lord. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all the chief priests and legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for that is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are you least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had first appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. And when you found him, report to me so that I too may go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went, and look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another route. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the eyes of our hearts be opened and illuminated by your light. Speak to us today. Amen. When you're out about between Sunday to Sunday and you're talking with people from other congregations, maybe you've noticed this frequent coincidence that the sermons are on the same scripture. Well, that isn't just a coincidence. Some of you may realize that. You've heard me say something along the lines of, today's scripture prescribed by the Revised Common Lectionary, or today's lectionary reading, before I read the scripture. This lectionary, it's a list of suggested scripture readings to be used in worship, and it's used by many of the mainline Christian denominations. It's growing more and more. The lectionary came about basically in the 70s and 80s, and its primary purpose was following these readings to allow members of the church to hear the full breadth of Scripture and to hear the Gospels read from start to beginning. Now, it's a three-year cycle, so that works well for Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic Gospels. They're all similar, but you know, John is just that unique, mysterious, mystical writer that doesn't quite match up so nicely, so they kind of intersperse John throughout all three of those years. But this also, as we follow this lectionary, it guides us through the Christian calendar year, and it brings up different feast days. We begin with Advent, and then Christmas, Epiphany, Palm Sunday, Easter, Pentecost, Christ the King Sunday at the end of the year. As we go through this lectionary, we come across certain days like today, Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Some churches celebrate it robustly. Others, it's what? What's that mean? Some churches will use Baptism of the Lord Sunday and have a baptismal remembrance service where everyone is invited to come forward, to gather around the font, to remember your baptism, to be thankful. I share all of this to help us realize that so much of the church structure, it's actually a very recent adaptation. And there are many that are now realizing some of these well-intended structures, these guides, have actually served in a bizarre way to distance us from God, to separate God from us, to widen that gap between the sacred and the secular. Even that sacred-secular dualism is a fairly recent distinction, all in all. This was not part of any of the scriptural writings, the life of Paul, the life of Jesus. That separation was not there. So the inclusion of what we refer to as the three wise men in Matthew's gospel, it's not by chance. It's not by chance by Matthew's writing. They don't appear in the other three gospels. Matthew includes these wise men, three kings, magi. He brings them in as bookends, as a sense, to his account of the good news of Jesus Christ. If we look ahead, Jesus' final command in Matthew's gospel is to go out into all the world and to make disciples of all nations. Matthew, being a devout Jew, and we believe writing to a primarily Jewish audience, he wants them to know that Jesus didn't just come for a select few. Jesus didn't come just for the Jewish people. Matthew's gospel tells the narrative of God and Jesus coming first to the Jews and then to the Gentiles, as the Apostle Paul writes, but that Christ was destined for the Jews as well. And these wise men, the story of these wise men are important for that purpose. Here in the second chapter of Matthew's gospel, these wise men are translated into many various names: magicians, astrologers, magi, scholars. In reality, they were Zoroastrian priests. Now, Zoroastrianism, that's a religion that's one of the oldest religions in the world, still active in Iran today. It was the official religion of Persia before Islam. Now, like the Jews, Zoroastrian priests, they too were anticipating the birth of the true Savior. It's these Gentiles, these outsiders, the Magi, who recognized Jesus' divinity and kingship. The Magi were seeking the child whom they found to be Jesus with his mother Mary. And when they arrived, we're told they fell to their knees and they honored him. King Herod, on the other hand, he wanted to kill him. What? Somebody who's going to take my place? No, we can't have this. We've got to squash that. Matthew wants to show throughout his gospel that the Jewish leaders, most of them rejected Jesus, even oppressed him. But the Gentiles accepted him. Matthew presents Jesus as the expected king of both the Jews and the Gentiles, bookending his gospel. With all that in mind, As I mentioned at the opening of worship, we are seeking Jesus in our daily lives, are we not? That is what Christians want. We want to find Christ in our life. We want to know, where is God active? Question for us, though. Do we truly expect to encounter the risen Lord? Or is it more just words that we say? Oh yeah, I want to encounter Jesus. Do we truly expect that? We should. So I ask, what might lead us into moments in which we truly encounter the crucified and risen Lord in everyday, ordinary moments of our life? And when we do, what's our response going to be? Will we unknowingly desire to have him killed? Because, you know, the way of Jesus, it threatens our perception of the good life that we strive for. I think we do that all too often without even realizing it. As Dan put in his sermon last week, he said, what we do not know or cannot control causes us fear and anxiety. He's spot on. And most everything about our modern West reality is rooted in that human ability to control or at least manage outcomes. And these outcomes are too often of human origin rather than divine origin. And we've convinced ourselves that it's all about God, when in reality it's about me, typically, not even us. Over Christmas, when we had the blessing of all three children being under the same roof in our new home here in Fond du Lac, which, I don't know about you, Chris, but to me it felt like that transformed a house into a home. It was great. While we were together, our oldest son shared many of his experiences as he's training as a pilot with the U.S. Air Force. Did you know that when pilots experience those extreme G-forces and they're doing all those different maneuvers, the blood actually goes out of their head and starts getting forced down to their feet? Kind of like, you know, toothpaste being squeezed out of a tube. Eventually, you know, all of a sudden everything just starts narrowing in and everything starts turning black until there's this little tunnel, and if they don't catch it soon enough, pass out, lose control. So they get trained. How do we avoid that? In addition to the G suits that they wear, they learn tricks or practices that help reduce this blood flow, squeezing their legs, tightening muscles in their legs and abdomen to be able to counteract that and to get their bodies acclimated to that bizarre torture, I might say, but glad there are people who do enjoy doing that sort of thing. But that tunnel vision, it's not something that only happens to pilots. We all experience, not the same, but a similar type of phenomenon. When we experience too much fear and anxiety in our life, when we lose control, or we feel like we're losing control, we get a tunnel vision. And if the situation is severe enough, we can even go into a state of sort of unconsciousness where we don't know what's going on. There are tricks and practices that help us break out of these anxious moments, to work against that feeling of anxiety. One of these practices is a grounding exercise in which you intentionally focus on your immediate surroundings, naming things that you can see, hear, taste, smell. You feel anxious, take a look around. Can you find something blue? Can you hear furnace fan? Can you hear some other small noise? Maybe in your home's a clock ticking. Can you reach down and feel the pew pad? How would you describe the texture of that pew pad? Or the wood on the pew? When we focus on our immediate surroundings, it breaks that tunnel vision and that anxiety, and we start to regain a sense of a little bit of control in our life. It refocuses our minds. This practice is helpful not only to dispel anxiety, but also to simply help us slow down in our fast-paced world, to help us pay attention to life, to be present. It's a good practice to do on a regular basis, to just start to notice things around us. Epiphany. It's a celebration of God's presence breaking through to dispel the darkness of sin that envelops our world. To support Darren's charge from his sermon 2 weeks ago, he said that we are to praise God by living out the image and likeness of our Creator more than we did last year. That's an excellent challenge. To help put some practical application to that, worship team is offering you an Epiphany gift that may shape a new pathway for us as we go into 2025. It's a practice of star words. Close of worship. Everybody going out is going to have an opportunity to be given a star. Just a small little yellow star with a word printed on it. Worship team will be back there handing those out to you if you'd like one as you go out. When you get that word, that star and that word, that's yours to keep for the year. Don't just take it, no, thanks, and toss it in the recycling bin. Take it with you. The purpose of this practice is to help become more aware of God's presence in the everyday, ordinary moments of life. This word is yours to reflect throughout the coming year. As each new day unfolds, take time to contemplate and notice, what is that word? And how does that change the trajectory of that day and change the trajectory of the year? Now, as you choose this star without knowing what the word is on it, you're going to be kind of like the Magi, unsure of exactly what you're going to find. They let the Spirit guide them. Do the same. Let the Spirit nudge you, guide you, inspire you, challenge you in the upcoming year. You might want to consider your star word sort of like a little spiritual GPS. Perhaps you're going to notice something in that star that other people don't, and maybe somebody else is going to notice something in conversation about it that you're like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. Find a spot to put it. Think about it. What might we learn from one word? Look up the definition of it. Look up the etymology. What is the history of that word? What are the different ways in which that word might be used? What treasured wisdom surfaces as you think about this word over the upcoming year? How does this word show up in the everyday, ordinary moments of life that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise? Keep this star someplace special, someplace where you're going to see it. Don't just hide it away. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on the sink by your bathroom, in a mirror, in your office cubicle, on your dashboard of your car, whatever it might be. Someplace that you can regularly let it be a guide for you, leading you closer and closer into God's presence. For some, the word's meaning an application, it might pop up right away. And for others, they may look at it and say, I don't have a clue what that's going to do. I want a different star. No, don't get a different star. Sit with it. It might be uncomfortable for a while, but allow the Spirit to speak. And maybe even if you think you know what it means at the beginning, God may reveal some different meanings to you, different applications throughout the year. I encourage you to share these stories with others during fellowship time, for worship, so you get together for coffee, for lunch, whatever it may be. Be open to seeing God at work through the most unlikely situations. And like those Gentile magi, those Zoroastrian priests coming to the Messiah, expect God to speak to you through the most un-Christ-like people. Allow that separation of sacred and secular to be reunited. Welcome the unexpected and unexplainable mysteries that happen in life. Follow this star, expecting, fully expecting to encounter the Christ child, the Messiah, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Emmanuel, God with us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The light of God's love shines before you as you leave this place. Go forth following the star that will guide you on your journey. Meet God's people in the world and greet them with the good news of salvation. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.